Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. It's kind of a fun extra podcast. When I was talking with David Pfeiffer, we went down this little rabbit hole, and I don't want to spoil too much because I think it's kind of a nice just conversation and going into the points. But one thing I will mention real quick, if you haven't done so already, because time is almost out, make sure to check out Practical Pocus and go to practicalpocus.com specifically for Critical Access 2019. This course is almost full, if it's not already full, because I mean, like I said, it's been filling up really quickly and there's very few seats left, but make sure to check it out. And now let's go into this quick conversation. So I saw you were at somewhere else today talking about like the fentanyl scare and fentanyl hype.
Yeah, I was invited to our local fire department. They're doing a safety stand down this week. So I was giving them some insights into fentanyl.
Perfect. I actually really pissed off one of our local police departments because with the DEA, I'm kind of surprised the DEA is still pushing the narrative.
They're the worst. They're the worst.
The DEA was coming in to do a special talk with one of the local police departments. It was like an area-wide training. And so, and I wasn't trying to be an ass about it. I wasn't trying to like show it on, but anytime that post came up, I made sure to like comment, like, this is a problem, guys.
So I actually addressed that in my presentation. I think that the DEA has an agenda, and I think that that is pretty clear, but I also don't think that that's an indictment of the DEA. I think that the DEA's interest is in spreading awareness about the dangers of drugs. So they're naturally inclined to take that to kind of its logical extent, right? So they put out a lot of guidance for law enforcement in particular that is true, but is not nuanced. So I actually shared some of the examples of their bulletins in this training where they say things like, you know, officer safety alert, fentanyl can kill you. So, well, yeah, fentanyl can kill you, right? But of course, the question is how much is needed to kill you and how easy is it for that amount to actually get into your bloodstream? So I think it's no surprise that the DEA is pushing that kind of a narrative. That's kind of what they do. I mean, it would be nice if they were a little bit more nuanced or thoughtful in their approach, but I don't think it should be a surprise to anybody that they have an interest in kind of making sure that people take this stuff, really, really seriously. And then you have groups like the CDC that are definitely more balanced in their approach, I think, compared to the DEA, but still are inclined because of the nature of their work to be conservative in their guidance on things. So they have statements like, you know, fentanyl can be absorbed through the skin. Again, yes, it can be, right, in the right circumstances and with the right transport mediums and things like that. But how easy is it, and how frequently does that really happen? And I think so. Part of the training that I did for these guys today was just to kind of orient them to how to kind of decode the agendas that the different sources of information might be bringing with them. You know, kind of critical thinking kinds of stuff. But I hate for that. I don't mean for that to sound condescending. These are smart people. They're experienced providers. They're well-educated. But sometimes we just have to remind ourselves where these different sources of information are really coming from.
No, I like that perspective. I didn't really think about it to that extent with the DEA, why they would do it that way. I kind of considered it for other reasons, but that's a good point. They're supposed to say drugs are bad. Like you said, that's a good narrative. Another funny story before we dive in, because I thought you'd appreciate this, especially because you gave the talk today. So I was at Walmart shopping, and I was not at my usual Walmart. So I went and had to drop something off to my wife. That's why I was kind of running a narrow time frame. But when I went to this Walmart, all of a sudden this lady says that, like, she starts having this coughing fit, and she said, "Those kids sprayed something." And she said, "It's making me cough so bad." And I'm like an aisle or two down, and I walk by and other people start coughing as well. And so any person that she talks to or that she starts coughing and hacking in front of does the exact same thing as she does. But for the people who walk by when she's not talking about, when she's not coughing, none of them cough. I found that really interesting. And I didn't have the urge to cough either. But like whether or not they sprayed something was kind of debatable. There were these couple of kids that she said sprayed something and then walked off. Come to find out, they tracked down the kids at the front of Walmart as I was checking out. They were also checking out because about 10 minutes had passed and they're trying to find footage. And the lady came up and pointed and said, it was, you know, it's these kids right here, a couple of teenagers. And one of them has OC spray around her, like kind of a keychain on, and said that they sprayed. Either that was the weakest OC spray ever, because I mean, I didn't detect anything at all. My eyes didn't water. I didn't have a cough, anything like that. But I found it really interesting, kind of the panic from this person who keeps coughing and saying they sprayed something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those people start coughing too. And every single Walmart staff member, because it all kind of spread really quick, like they could be several rows down and start hacking and coughing before they even came to it.
Yeah. It actually, when you said teenagers, I was thinking Axe body spray.
That's what I thought at first also, too. I really thought it was something
which would fit that profile. Yeah. Yeah. OC and Axe body spray actually have a very similar makeup when you put them under like gas spectrometry. So
really,
yeah, I assume so. I'm not a chemist, but
well, it made me laugh because I had zero symptoms. Like I couldn't imagine that I would have no effect from it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I think there's a lot of things going on, and this definitely relates right back to the fentanyl as well, which is that right. First and foremost, different people are going to have different sensitivities to irritants and chemicals and noxious things. And you know, that, you know, substances that get introduced to them. I just completed the CONTOMS course. So that's the counter narcotics and terrorism operational medical support course offered by the federal government. It's 56-hour tactical medical training offered through the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and U.S. Park Police. And as a part of that course, you get exposed to chemical munitions, OC and CS gas. And I had never experienced anything like that before. And I was actually kind of intimidated going into this drill where you go in wearing an APR, you know, like a gas mask, an air purifying respirator. And then you have to take the mask off and you get exposed to this basically like a canister. And it's filling the room up with smoke. And you have to say some words and do some like simple tasks in that environment. And the point of the drill is to teach people who are training to be tactical medics that they can in fact operate in that kind of an environment if they didn't have a gas mask or if their seal got disrupted or whatever, right? Same reason that they do those kinds of drills for people in the military, just to kind of build confidence. And it affected me pretty heavily. There were other people in the group who had a military background and they'd been in these kinds of gas drills, you know, plenty of times, and it didn't really affect them quite as much. And then there were other guys who had been exposed to a lot of these irritants before because of prior military service or tactical deployments, and it affected them even worse than it affected me. So you're always going to have a spectrum of people who get affected in different ways. And so with fentanyl, you know, you have people who are like opioid naive, and if they accidentally you know, somehow do inhale a little bit of fentanyl powder, which is possible. You know, maybe it hits them just like a ton of bricks and they're down for the count. Whereas, you know, presumably a drug abuser who uses opioids, you know, IV opioids every day, wouldn't have the same kind of effect to that. You see that with patients, you know, patients who actually have a lot of opioids or narcotics due to chronic pain conditions need much higher doses of pain medicine to get the same effect that somebody who didn't would. So that's always going to be out there. And I think that partially explains some of the reactions that have been reported, you know, from law enforcement officers and first responders. You know, really, I think that's a really small part of it. I think that's a small dynamic. I think what's really going on is what you're describing in Walmart, which is basically like a psychosomatic kind of a situation.
Kind of the nocebo effect, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. You got the placebo effect, you got the nocebo effect, right? And And the nocebo effect is all about if you're aware of the potential for something bad to happen, you start to convince yourself that it is happening. So, you know, there's a variety of like degrees of that same dynamic, right? You got the nocebo effect, you got like psychosomatic illnesses, you got conversion disorders, you have mass psychogenic illnesses. They're all basically about the same thing, which is the power of suggestion. And I think that is really the most compelling explanation for what's going on with these fentanyl stories, because the science just doesn't add up. I mean, fentanyl just doesn't get absorbed into your skin easily at all. And it doesn't get aerosolized or inhaled really easily either. So I think it's mental. I think that law enforcement officers in particular have really kind of been miseducated by people who ought to know better. I mean, the DEA and the CDC and a lot of these people, they really ought to understand their audience. And so this idea has gotten out there that, you know, you see some fentanyl and you're going to die. The rest is explained by that kind of, you know, fear factor.
I would agree. Actually, that's the whole reason why I brought this up, was because I saw this and I was like, holy shit. Like, literally in front of me, I am watching the nocebo effect in action.
Your own little experiment.
Yeah. And so I actually sat back and I watched these people, and I watched the ones who were not exposed to being told what was going on. And then I watched people who she directly talked to. And then I actually went through four different times the area of concern, just like, maybe I didn't get it the first time. Because that's what I was kind of questioning. It's like, maybe I'm overthinking this. Maybe I just really didn't get exposed. So I walked through a total of four times in the direct area where this was all supposed to be happening. I couldn't smell anything. I had no irritation. I didn't want to cough. I didn't feel like my eyes were watering. I made sure, and for those out there who are like, kind of like, oh, well, you could have held your breath. Like, for me, I actually like took deep breaths in, because I'm like, something's got to happen. Something really has to happen.
Yeah, you want it to happen.
And by the way,
second guessing yourself, right?
I didn't even know. So keep in mind, this could have been like terrorist plot in action at this point, because no one really knew, because my guess was that it was going to be, like you said, either some sort of propellant, like it could have been Axe body spray or OC spray. And I was really thinking, okay, it's probably going to be someone's little pepper spray bottle that they shot off because they thought they'd be a dumbass kid and that is out of high school right now. And this is what happens over the summer. But I thought at the same time, like, I could be a major dumbass and just expose myself four different times to something like serious. But watching the interactions and everything, it was just so entertaining, because it was truly watching things happen in that nocebo fashion. That was the only way I could explain it also.
Yeah, pretty wild. You know, the mind is a powerful, powerful force, and it explains a lot of this stuff, I think.
Yeah. So now that we've gone 15 minutes into this, I think we have a podcast. So thanks, David, for coming.
Yeah. Happy to be here.
All right. That wraps up this podcast. Again, it was meant for fun, but I think it has some great pearls in it, primarily giving a good example of the nocebo effect in action. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.